On a Monday, you're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're breaking down political developments one at a time. Here's a roadmap. We'll look at the leadership and handling of unemployment claims at the Department of Workforce Development as the governor forced the resignation of its secretary, Caleb Frostman, 10 days ago. We'll discuss the ruling on extending deadlines for clerks to handle absentee ballots. And we start with the statewide mask mandate. What questions do you have about the mask mandate and the governor's third state of emergency? Do you support it? How else would you like the governor and state lawmakers to address the threat of COVID? What do you think of a judge extending the deadline for mail-in ballots? We're at 800-642-1234. Laurel White is a state capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio and co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks so much.
Well, let's look at this statewide mask mandate as we see our numbers just exploding here in Wisconsin. What did Governor Evers say was the need for the extension?
Well, the governor cited those increased case numbers across Wisconsin when he issued the new mask mandate and the new public health emergency. He said that we're entering a new and dangerous phase of the COVID-19 pandemic in Wisconsin. You know, he cited the spikes in cases that we've seen in university communities, in particular in Wisconsin, as schools have attempted to come back this fall and have in-person instruction, have students on campus. We know that different campuses have struggled with that to varying degrees, right? We've seen dorm quarantines. We've seen kind of temporary switches to virtual learning to try to figure out how to kind of grapple with maintaining an in-person community at these institutions and also keep the pandemic in check.
How have Republicans responded to the mask mandate extension? Because Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said in July that he had the votes to overturn the first emergency declaration and mask mandate.
He did. So we know that Republican lawmakers have not been big fans of the governor's mask mandates. They've said for, you know, several months, really since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, almost the very beginning, the governor and Republican leaders have had disagreements about how to handle the pandemic. Republicans in general have favored a more kind of local approach, a more tailored approach for different communities in the state, depending on what the levels of the virus are there. Whereas the governor has pushed more of these statewide plans, things like his safer at home order, the stay at home order that we saw over the spring. So Republican lawmakers have pushed back, saying the mask mandate, statewide orders in general, just aren't the way that the state should be going. And they had really, really strong responses this time to the order. They put out statements very quickly after the governor acted and didn't mince words. Both Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss called the order illegal. And we can get into kind of the legal challenges to the mask mandate, of course. There's an ongoing lawsuit there. But they also said things like, you know, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said that he believed that the mandate and the public health emergency weren't worth the paper that they were printed on. So they've really reached a level of frustration, I think, with the governor that we haven't seen before.
But are Republicans divided on mask wearing? They have the majority to end the governor's state of emergency and the mask mandate.
And they're choosing not to do that. So what has to happen if the legislature wants to override any public health emergency or any other state of emergency that a governor declares, they just have to come in, convene the legislature, and have a two-thirds simple majority vote in both chambers of the state legislature. So Republicans obviously have that simple majority in both chambers. As you mentioned, the Senate said earlier this year that they were willing to come in and override the mask mandate, but the Assembly has never gotten on board with that. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has never said that there's the appetite, that there are the votes there among Republicans to override the mask mandate. And notably, Senator Fitzgerald was even silent coming in for an override right now. So there is certainly political disagreement among Republicans about the override, or at the very least, a political calculation about how it would look for lawmakers to do that, any sort of political ramifications of them doing that ahead of the November election. All of the 99 state assembly seats are on the ballot in November. So any vote that lawmakers would take about a mask mandate would be on voters'
On the
minds when they
record.
go, absolutely, on the record when they go to vote.
Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter. We're breaking down the latest news in state government and politics with you as well. What would you like to see lawmakers working on amid the pandemic? What do you want to be done about the surge of COVID cases in Wisconsin, especially ahead of Election Day? It's 800-642-1234. Laurel, last week, Judge William Conley extended the amount of time mail-in ballots can be accepted for the general election. What did Judge Conley say was the reason for the extension?
Said that he weighed the experience that Wisconsin voters had in the April presidential primary, and in his view, it is necessary to extend those deadlines to make sure that some folks aren't disenfranchised in the election process this year because of the COVID-19 pandemic. He said because of the conditions that people are living under during the pandemic, kind of trying to navigate their comfort levels with being out in public, interacting with others. He said that it's just essential to kind of change state laws for this period of time related to elections to make sure that people are able to participate basically in the democratic process.
So what does that mean logistically then for the election?
So right now, technically, this order is on hold. So it means nothing as of right now. The way things are playing out, nothing has changed at the moment because Judge Conley's decision has been appealed to a higher court. That court has stayed it, meaning put it on hold while it's waiting to hear arguments. With that being said, if kind of that process plays out and Judge Conley's order is allowed to go back into effect, it would give Wisconsinites 6 additional days after Election Day for their ballot to make its way to local election officials, to their local clerk after November 3rd, after Election Day, as long as the ballot was postmarked by November 3rd. So it's kind of accounting for folks who might get their ballot in the mail a little bit later than election officials are recommending this year, or if there are mishaps, problems with the mail, delays with the mail that make it take even longer than some people are anticipating, kind of just builds in a buffer for mail-in ballots. It would also extend, Judge Conley's order would also extend online voter registration in Wisconsin. Right now, the deadline is October 14th to register online to vote. Under his order, it would be October 21st, just kind of extending that out so people don't need to go into their local clerk's office to register in person, or they don't need to register in person on election day. That is something that's offered in Wisconsin, but Judge Conley said that takes time. Of course, when people are there, additional time to do that in-person registration, and he said we want to do what we can to mitigate the amount of time that people are going to be in
And
polling places in person if possible.
Laurel, who is behind this appeal?
So this is Republican state lawmakers that have appealed this decision to the Seventh Circuit in Chicago. They think that Wisconsin election laws are sufficient to make sure that everybody can vote in November.
WPR's State Capitol reporter Laurel White is our guide to the Capitol in the latest political news, election news. Have you filed for unemployment amid the pandemic? What was the process like? What do you think of Governor Evers firing the Department of Workforce Secretary over the backlog of claims? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back for more State Cap with Laurel White here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new state audit report found 93% of calls to our state unemployment call centers between mid-March and the end of June were blocked or callers got a business signal. And Governor Evers ousted Department of Workforce Development Secretary Caleb Frostman 10 days ago. What do you want to know about the changes at the top of DWD? What's your experience with the unemployment insurance benefit system? Also, have you attended any campaign rallies or visits? How do you think our state will impact the presidential race and election? Be part of this 800-642-1234. Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter, and she stays with us. Laurel, let's look at what happened in DWD. We had 10 days ago a governor asking for Caleb Frostman's resignation. Why was that?
So the governor cited that sustained backlog of unfilled unemployment insurance claims in Wisconsin when he announced that Secretary Frostman was stepping down at his request. This is something that has gotten headlines in Wisconsin since the beginning of the pandemic. You mentioned the new audit that came out last week that outlined the number of folks that were calling the unemployment office and not able to get through to discuss claims. The governor essentially said it was unacceptable that the backlog had lasted this long. We're talking, you know, a large number of people that have been affected. As of the time that Secretary Frostman stepped down, the latest numbers from DWD had about 700,000 unfilled weekly claims for unemployment insurance in Wisconsin. And some of those claims had been submitted, had been pending for quite a while, sometimes months. So the governor said it was just essential at this point in his belief to kind of change leadership at the top to get this problem addressed.
Do you think the audit was really the impetus for this change at the top?
The governor didn't cite the audit. The governor's office, didn't mention anything like that specifically. The audit, of course, didn't come out until late last week. Secretary Frostman's resignation and the announcement came several days before that. But there is a potential that played a role. The Department of Workforce Development is given an opportunity to respond, or any department that has an audit like this gets the results and they're able to respond before it's published as kind of part of the process. So it's possible that within the Evers administration, it was known that this was coming, and that was something that factored into the governor's decision.
And who will replace Frostman as the head of the Department of Workforce Development?
So someone that's currently, already part of state government, already part of the process, a different department. It's a deputy secretary within the State Department of Corrections, Amy Pahacek. She's going to step in and take over the leadership role in an interim capacity until Governor Evers decides who he wants to nominate to fill the position in a permanent way. It is a Senate-confirmed position, so it's somebody that's going to be up for, debate and conversation among the Republican-controlled legislature. We know that that's something that's been very contentious in the past, the governor's picks to lead certain departments, and certainly this one is under a microscope and has been for a while. So we'll have to keep a close eye on how that plays out.
We're talking with Laurel White, who covers the state capitol for WPR. Your insights as well at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Kathy now. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi, what would you like to add?
Well, the backlog was true. It took me until the mid-July to get any kind of benefits. And it was mainly because I was considered a gig worker. I'm a substitute teacher. And I was working full-time up until March 16th. After I was put in adjudication, then I still had nothing. So I contacted Tammy Baldwin. And Tammy's office got things rolling within probably 2 weeks of contacting her. Someone did call me. I had already emailed numerous times. I called 174 times in 3 days, but finally someone called me. But the funny thing is, after I got my benefits, they started sending me letters saying I owed them money.
Oh, wow.
I was like, they said they overpaid me. Now, my payment was $110 a week. That's what they just determined I was going to get. And then they would come back and say, well, now you owe us $40. It was a bit ridiculous.
For all the time that you put into that. Kathy, thank you for sharing that story. And, you know, Laurel, a couple things there. Kathy contacted U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin.
That is absolutely something that individuals other than Kathy, other folks did the same thing. You know, when former Secretary Frostman first testified before state lawmakers about this problem, he was called into a committee meeting to talk about what was going wrong and how they were working to address it. He said that members of staff and himself, other people at DWD were getting calls not only to their work phones and messages to their work emails, but people were finding their personal phone numbers and calling their personal cell phones and leaving messages because people were just so frustrated and scared because it was taking so long for them to get claims filled and get their questions answered about problems. You know, they go into the adjudication process, like Kathy mentioned, and that can be for any number of reasons, you know, disputes about how you left your last job or hours worked, a number of technical things. And some people were concerned about, you know, why they were in that process or how long it was taking. And so they were really kind of using whatever avenue they could, reaching out to whoever they could to get some action, to get some answers.
Let's bring in Bill now from Pewaukee. Hi, Bill.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for being there, and Ms. White, for keeping on top of so many kinds of things. The question, I have a lot on my mind, but the question I called in about was, I think I heard the other day that the legislature had not met for, was it 120 days or even more than that? And I'm wondering if that's normal. It just seems like the Republicans are just kind of laying low until the election and kind of doing nothing.
Bill, thank you. Laurel, is this normal for the legislature to be out of session this long?
It is. So especially in an election year like this, it is not uncommon for the legislature to wrap up in the spring with their business for the year and kind of shift into campaign mode and basically, you know, kind of have lawmakers move from their positions at the Capitol back to their districts, having these one-on-one kind of interactions with voters ahead of November. It's not unusual for that to happen. I think what's unusual this year is everything that's happening in 2020. Obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, unrest and racial tensions over police shootings and racial inequality in Wisconsin. There have been multiple things that have brought folks' attention to the fact that lawmakers aren't in the Capitol right now passing new laws and debating proposals. And
right, because Governor Evers called a special session 5 weeks ago with 9 bills that were proposed in early June, but he didn't call a special session at that time following George Floyd's death. What about these special sessions?
So lawmakers essentially say that the leaders, the Republican leaders, are saying that they need more time to look at these proposals, that they want to go through a task force process where things are discussed and debated and there's more time to work on finding bipartisan consensus on bills. The governor, on the other hand, and Democrats say that they know what the issues are. Wisconsin has had a long time to talk about these things. There are some clear things that can be done right away, things like banning police use of chokeholds and no-knock warrants. Republican leaders have actually said they think they have the votes for the chokehold ban. So it's just a very basic disagreement about how quickly should move right now. Republicans think that things need more time. They want to come back at the beginning of the next legislative session, which begins in January. That's when the new lawmakers are sworn in after the election. They want to come in then, handle things then. The governor and Democrats want things done right now.
Very quickly, before I have to let you go, Vice President Mike Pence was in our state again last week. President Trump will be in Duluth on Wednesday. Do we know if these campaign visits are having an impact on Wisconsin voters?
That's such an interesting question, Kate, and that's something that we're really keeping a close eye on. According to the latest Marquette poll, voters in Wisconsin aren't changing their views too much over the course of this campaign. We had really high-profile visits from President Trump and candidate Joe Biden in the wake of everything that happened in Kenosha. And their popularity rates in Wisconsin didn't really budge from before they made those visits to after. So it's really interesting to see just kind of how strong Wisconsin is right now in its division and in its beliefs about individual candidates. We're not seeing a lot of wiggle room as of right now. So we're going to keep a real close eye on it and see if, you know, as these visits evolve, if they change anybody's mind.
Laurel, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is the State Capitol reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. She co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Coming up, the State Capitol Report continues with Representative Sheila Stubbs. She's co-chairing this Speaker's Task Force to address racial disparities in our state. How do Wisconsin's racial disparities affect you or your community? 800-642-1234. We'll be back with more State Cap after this news update on the Ideas Network.